Oftentimes, the place that we come from can say a lot about us or not. The place where we come from tells others how rich or poor we might be, how educated or uneducated. Where we come from can be a source of pride or a source of embarrassment or shame. If you people ask you, where are you from in Denver, and you tell them Cherry Hills Village, they're going to know instantly you're a multimillionaire. If you tell them Sun Valley, they're going to know you come from the poorest city with the highest crime rate and unemployment and less education than anywhere else around Denver. And so they presume that of you. Or in the climate of our political tensions and culture today, simply telling somebody you weren't born in this country can be a cause for anxiety or seemingly shame. Mary, when the Archangel Gabriel appeared to her in her great Magnificat, said that God exalts the lowly. She recognized that by the fact that God chose her to be the mother of Christ. And what does the prophet Micah tell us today? He tells us that Jesus comes from the smallest, most insignificant town. The Savior will come from the smallest, most insignificant town of the least of the 12 tribes of Judah. Thus says the Lord, you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too small to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel. The greatest King of kings and Lord of lords, the Messiah to come, will come from the most insignificant town of the most insignificant tribe of the 12 tribes of Judah. God could have chosen to come from the great city of Jerusalem. God could have chose to become man in a mansion gilded in gold. But instead he was born in a place that was not even his own and rested for the first time after his birth in a feeding trough for animals. God chooses to raise up the lowly. Where we're from should be a cause of joy and pride, especially if it's poor and insignificant, because then you're like Jesus. When we focus on Mary today in the readings, we see the contrast with her and Zechariah in terms of their response to the announcement of the Archangel Gabriel. As you know, Zechariah was at this point a priest of many years, studied, a man of decades of experience in his ministry, a prayer, a lover of the law, a leader of worship among his people, and his wife and he are infertile, a cause of shame. At that time, people presumed illness was a consequence of sin, either theirs or their parents. So it didn't bode well for the priest to have this mark of shame and sin, according to the thinking back then, by being childless. And then when the Archangel Gabriel appears to him and announces the good news that his wife, even in her old age, will bear them a son, he doesn't believe. The priest doesn't believe the angel. The prayer of 20 years, the expert of scripture and the law and worship, doesn't believe. The man who most should believe doesn't. And as you know, God strikes him mute, furthering the shame and his inability to lead worship. If I can't speak, I cannot pray mass. I cannot lead you in worship. Speech is essential. And God takes that from Zechariah for a time until he acknowledges publicly John will be his name, as the Archangel Gabriel told him, even though there was no one by the name of John in his family. Now the Archangel appears to this girl with no education, poor, a 14, 15, 16-year-old teenager, not a leader of worship, a leader of the community, not an expert of the law, and she believes immediately. Even though the fact that the Archangel Gabriel tells her, your son will be conceived miraculously. Zechariah and Isabel's son, John the Baptist, was conceived naturally. There's no miracle except the fact that she was elderly. In the case of Mary, this is an extraordinary miracle. How can it be, since I do not know a man? The Holy Spirit will come down upon you. The Most High will overshadow you. And your son will become the Son of God. May it be done unto me according to your word. The humble, simple, poor, uneducated little girl believes. Another sign and fulfillment of the prophets. Not the wealthy, not the powerful, not the people from Cherry Hills Village, but from Sun Valley is where God chooses to make his salvation known and from which his salvation shall come. The good news is that in spite of or because of or regardless of where we come from, God has made it clear, I will identify with the poor. I will identify with the uneducated. I will identify with the lowly and raise them up. How do we become one of them? Well, we don't become saved simply because we're uneducated or poor. But if we live out God's commands and fulfill his will, we raise up our own dignity. Now, how we live is a reflection not of where we were born or where we come from, but who we are, a son and daughter of Christ the King, the sons and daughters of Mary. And Mary shows us the way. Mary is the means by which God in his free will chose to come to us. And every Christian, if we are to be faithful to the example of Christ, will equally depend upon her, just as Jesus did. To be a Christian means to be Marian. Jesus could not have existed in his humanity if it were not for Mary's yes. Jesus could not have survived in her womb and lived beyond that if it were not for her yes. But because of her free cooperation with God's will, fulfilling his commands and accepting this gift, we have the Christ child, who we will celebrate this week, again, born in Bethlehem. She said yes to God's will from the moment she could, and God preserved her from sin from the moment of her conception, as we celebrated on December 8th. Her yes is the joy of the nations, and her example leads us to Christ. That's her role. She brings us to Jesus, just as she brought Jesus to us. And what does she do when she finds out that she is the mother of God, the queen of heaven and earth, the spouse of God, the Holy Spirit? She doesn't assume a throne and have people come and kiss her feet and bring her gifts. The moment she finds out that she's going to be the mother of God and has become the spouse of the Holy Spirit, she travels, quote, in haste to her sister Elizabeth. Not to announce the news in the hope of getting gifts and favors, but to sweep the floor, to wash the dishes, to cook for her and her husband, as she likely laid bedridden, carrying John the Baptist to term. Mary, the Queen of heaven and earth, the Mother of God and spouse of the Holy Spirit, immediately gets up and goes to wait on Elizabeth, to be the housekeeper and the cook and the caretaker of her cousin. She becomes a servant. She knows that the greater we are, the greater a servant we should be. It's no coincidence, then, that the Pope for many centuries have taken on the title Servant of the Servants of God, though not all of them in our history have lived that way. Blessed are you among women. Blessed are you, rather, who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Elizabeth recognized this. Zechariah, my husband didn't believe, but you did, Mary. You are blessed. He, meanwhile, is mute. How many women here among us would consider it a blessing if their husband couldn't speak for about 9 months? Elizabeth recognized, and Mary, you believed that old man back there didn't. Huh? That's why he can't talk. Sorry he's not speaking to you right now. Elizabeth recognized that our glory is revealed in our obedience to the will of God, in keeping his commands. They're not a form of oppression or further subjugation, but the path to real dignity and authentic human freedom. And Mary, being the Queen of Heaven, Mother of God, spouse of the Holy Spirit, does what every Christian must do. She brings Jesus to others. She becomes, after the annunciation of the Archangel Gabriel, or the incarnation of Christ, the eternal Word made flesh in her womb, she becomes the living tabernacle of God. She becomes the new Ark of the Covenant, and she brings literally Jesus in her womb to Elizabeth and John the Baptist in her womb. She does what every Christian is called to be, a servant who brings Christ to others. And Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, recognizes this. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth, Mary, you have brought me my Savior. You have brought me God. And the infant in her womb leaps for joy. John the Baptist in utero. The fathers of the early church said that it was Jesus's first baptism. Say, how? Well, Jesus in the womb comes to John the Baptist in the womb, and John the Baptist is baptized in the waters of his mother's womb. And he leaps for joy, just as David did, King David, around the Ark of the Covenant as it was processed into Jerusalem, leaping and jumping and praising God. So does John the Baptist now, in the womb of his mother, before Mary, the Ark of the New Covenant. David danced around the ark because it was filled with the Ten Commandments written by the finger of God handed to Moses, filled with the manna that came from the desert and had the staff of Moses, which he used to part the Red Sea. That was the Ark of the Covenant. That's what was in it. But in Mary, you have literally the Word made flesh. You have the manna come down from heaven that is Christ the Lord. You have the Word of God made flesh, not just the Ten Commandments. And she brings Jesus to Elizabeth and to her son, John the Baptist, still in the womb. How does this happen to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Every Christian should be wondering the same. We are blessed. We are gifted with Mary, our mother. And to be a Christian is to be fully devoted to her. Because as the saints have said throughout the centuries, there is no more sure, direct, and certain way to Jesus than through her, just as Christ came to us through her. And often they would say that the saints at the end of times will be those consecrated to Mary, because Mary leads us to Jesus like no one else, like no priest, no pope, no bishop, no parent, no grandparent, no godparent. Only Mary can surely lead us to the heart of Christ, her Savior, and ours. This is the good news of this fourth Sunday of Advent as we prepare to celebrate Christmas this Wednesday, that Mary comes to us, she brings Jesus, and she shows us how to be a Christian by being a servant first, who brings Christ to others, who allows and encourages us to keep God's commands so that we can live with our heads held high. It doesn't matter where we come from. And the more poor and the more insignificant, the more we should have pride, because that's where Jesus came from. And there's no one more powerful and more greater than he.